Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right there in Madison and North Florida on WMAF, your hometown radio station that streams by the World Wide Web, not only in Madison, North Florida, South Georgia, but anywhere in America, anywhere in the world. So wherever and whenever you are hearing this broadcast today, we welcome you and we pray that it will be a special blessing to you. I know that life is in the seed, and the seed, according to Jesus, is the Word of God. And if it gets in a good ground heart, it brings forth fruit 30, 60, and even 100 fold. So we're looking forward to just bringing you the Word of God that you might receive it today, as it is indeed God's Word and God's message to you. And we pray it will be clear and that you will have great clarity in your understanding of it, because the Bible said that's how we grow in Jesus and that's how we grow spiritually. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that ye may grow thereby. Praise God. So if you're ready to grow up in God and grow deep in your understanding of His love and provision for you, then get your Bibles ready and turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14. And let's read from verses 19 and 20. Two verses out of John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. Amen. Jesus is going to be speaking here in these two verses of Scripture. And the subject matter that we are beginning in this new study is you in me and I in you. The power and privilege of the believer's union with Jesus Christ. The power and privilege of the believer's union with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, I pray today that in the busyness of your day, that we can get a hold of some deep truths in the Word of God that will clarify to us just exactly what it means to be saved. It's not just a matter of turning over a new leaf, friend. It's a matter of getting a brand new life. Hallelujah. It's not just a matter of getting religion, as many use the term, when someone begins to make those adjustments and changes in their life. It's not just about getting religion. It's about getting a relationship with God, an intimate, personal, powerful, life-changing relationship with God. And we're going to be studying that great truth in just a moment. But before we do, we would like to thank you for being part of our listening family, not just in Madison and North Florida, but all over the world. And for those of you that are listening, we know we have listeners in Germany because we're in correspondence with them, and we just welcome you today. And we pray that not only those that we know of, but in other nations of the world, people come to our website from Africa and from Asia and from the Arctic, literally from the four corners of the earth, all because of the wonderful World Wide Web, which is allowing the gospel to go into places and peoples all over the world. And you know, the Bible did say, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached unto all the world, then shall the end come. And right now, that great work of the gospel of Jesus Christ going to the nations of the world is occurring and taking place. So the coming of the Lord is drawing very, very near. Praise God. So we welcome you today. If you would like to come to our website, just type in THCOG, and that will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates, where I have been and still remain the senior pastor for the 40 years and counting. This January will mark 41 years. I told some people last Sunday, as a matter of fact, in our congregation, that we've working on 41 years of ministry. We have already accomplished 51 years of marriage. God has brought us through the storms of life, and we just brag on Him and His mercy, His grace. There is victory in Jesus Christ. No matter what the circumstances, the pressures, the setbacks of life, there's victory in Jesus. Praise God. And I like to say this, not in pride, but in dependence upon the Lord, and to bring honor and glory to His great name. Victory is our business, and victory and business is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I pray that victory is your business today, because God has made a provision for you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, and you want to know what it really means to be saved, to have every sin forgiven, to be reconciled to God, hallelujah, and to have a personal relationship with the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, please join us in this Bible study today. You in me, and I in you, the power and privilege of the believer's union with Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 19 and 20. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And in that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Praise God. I want to read that again. "And in that day ye shall know," in verse 20, "that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Jesus was speaking of His resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. God the Father sent the Spirit so that the members of the body would be joined to their head in a living union. The indwelling Holy Spirit today unites believers to Jesus Christ. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And the Bible says that the hope of glory is based upon this spiritual relationship and this spiritual reality. The reason we can claim heaven is our home with such confidence is because we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Praise God. I like what Pearson says, one great Bible commentator. He said, there are great applications of this great truth to our relationship with God. Faith in Christ makes us one with Him, so that in God's sight, what is literally and actually true of Him becomes judicially, representatively, constructively true of us. We died when He died, we were buried when He was buried, and as many of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death, that is, our baptism was the confession of our identity with Him and our symbolic putting on of Christ. Hallelujah. It sounds a little confusing at first, but it really, really isn't. It is very clear in Scripture that we were baptized into His death. That's why the Bible said that we have been buried with Him so that we might also be raised with Him to walk in the newness of life. Our identification with Jesus is based on the fact that we didn't just get religion or join a church. We were baptized into His body. And the church is more than a stone and stained glass building with a steeple on it. The true church is every child of God that has come to saving faith by receiving Jesus as their Savior. This is the church. The Bible said we, literally everyone that knows Jesus, we are a building fitly framed together for a habitation of God by the Holy Spirit. We are the building spiritually. Someone said the church on the corner or the church down the street, that is the building, amen, where the true church goes to worship God. But we are the building, and we are inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Charles G. Trumbull speaks vividly of this new life in Christ, and he says, and I quote, "The resources of the Christian life, my friends, are just Jesus Christ. I realize for the first time the many references to Christ in you, you in Christ, Christ our life, and abiding in Christ are literal, actual, blessed fact, and not figures of speech. Jesus Christ does not want to be our helper. He wants to be our life. He does not want us to work for Him. He wants us to let Him do His work through us, using us as we use a pencil to write with, better still, using us as one of the fingers of His hand." Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, someone may be thinking, "Pastor Venable, I don't hear you pray when you open the broadcast." It's because I pray earnestly before I open my mouth at all to open the broadcast. Prayer has already been offered. And when I pray, I ask the Lord to do what the old covenant saint asked the Lord to do. "Lord, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, and let me speak as an oracle of God. I want, because I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, and the Holy Spirit indwells me as a child of God. Amen. I want Him to speak through me. And I want Him to speak to others that in a way that only He can do." You see, friend, being in Christ, in Him, is a biblical and spiritual truth, so filled with glory and grace, power and privilege, it's difficult to take it all in. Being in Christ means that we've been totally identified with Jesus, our humanity, because of the cross, associated directly and distinctly with His divinity. We are identified with His righteousness, number one. Is He righteous? Then so are we in Him. That's why the Bible said, amen, that we are accepted in the Beloved in the book of Ephesians. Accepted means to be highly honored and highly favored. Paul put it this way, "What manner of love is this, that we might be called the sons of God?" Not just sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. We have been saved by grace. But the Scripture is very clear. Now we are the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But right here, right now, it is very clear that we have been brought into God's royal family in a holy, accepted relationship, highly favored, highly honored. What manner of love is this? That we are not just forgiven our sins, but we are brought into an intimate, personal relationship with God. Hallelujah. Is He righteous? Then so are we in Him, in Christ. Paul writes in Philippians 3 and verse 9, it says, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." One commentary says, "Because we have become one with Him." Being rightwise or righteous with God is not achieved by our own merit, but by His sacrifice and our identification with Him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Praise God. See, this is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You in Christ is the evidence that our sins have been so thoroughly forgiven, that God identifies us with His own holy, sinless Son. I've been preaching the gospel all of these years. I've been hearing the gospel and reading the gospel all of these years. And I'm still trying to grasp the glory of this relationship. It is so much more than just going to church and going through rituals and routines and practicing a religion that isn't a relationship with God that God has called us to. Just going through motions. And I think that's why there is so much tradition of man that has been integrated into so many Christian religious systems, because we don't understand, we don't appreciate or appropriate this wonderful, privileged relationship we now have in Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian today, your sins have not only been forgiven, but you have been brought into a personal, spiritual union with God and with Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We are identified with His sonship. Is He a son? So are we, God's sons and daughters in Him. 1 John 3 and verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Amen. I like the New International. It says, "How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is because it did not know Him." And the Amplified said, "What incredible quality of love is this?" Praise God. Amen. You know, the world thinks if you're a Christian and you are acknowledging Jesus publicly in your life, and you're not one of those secret agent Christians, amen, somehow or another ashamed to declare that you have been saved today. And I pray that you are not. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believes." Praise God. I'm not ashamed of the cross. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus today. I'll tell you something. The world thinks you're a strange duck. If you live out your faith, if you practice your relationship with God, and you're not ashamed to tell anyone, look them in the eye and say, "Thank God, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and God is my heavenly Father, and Jesus is the closest friend that I have." Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is with me and within me. Glory be to God. The world is going to think that you have cross the line. Yeah, your religion is supposed to be something very personal, very private, and you don't walk it out, you don't flesh it out, you don't live it out, you don't blab it out, you don't talk about it. But yet the Bible said, amen, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." He said, "If you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father and His angels. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father and His angels." Praise God. Amen. I encourage Christians to not make a spectacle of yourself. Just live for the Lord. Just live your life differently, distinctly different than the culture and the world around you. Because if you do, you become like a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. People will take notice that you have a different worldview. You have a different value system than the culture that is trying to get everybody in this world to become clones of everybody in this world. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When you decide to follow Jesus, you march to the beat of a different drummer. Praise God. But there's a joy in that distinctiveness that we have as Christians. We do have a different worldview. We do have a different moral standard. We are not trying to get the world to embrace us because we have the embrace of God Himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It keeps getting better and better as we go along. We are identified with His inheritance. Amen. Is He an heir of God? Then so are we in Him. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17 clarifies this. It says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Praise God. I like the Amplified. It said, "We are fellow heirs of Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him." The great redemptive work of Jesus on the cross grants to us sonship and thereby heirship. The glory of this standing with God is that He has not just forgiven our sins, but that He has brought us into His own royal family with all the blessings and privileges of sonship and inheritance. The Apostle Paul talked about our bona fide sonship. The great word filled with such overwhelming privilege and power is adoption. Adoption. After the New Testament was written, we begin to glimpse the glory of what it means to be saved. Romans 8, 14 and 15 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father." You know, the only other place and the only other person that could actually have the right to call God by this paternal, personal, loving name, Abba, was Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, in one of the Gospels, as Jesus was praying, He said, "Abba, Father. Abba, Father." He addressed the Father by this word, Abba. In the Aramaic, Abba is the equivalent of our word, Daddy. Dada, the first two-syllable word uttered by an infant. My son, my oldest son, is 51 years old. And when he first recognized his father, I heard him say, "Dada," for the first time. And when I did, oh, it just absolutely touched me in the deepest part of my being that this little child recognized me as his father. But he didn't call me formally father in some kind of formal term. He called me in that loving infant knowledge, Dada. Dada. And that is what the Aramaic, you can hear the two syllable, it's easy for an infant. The moment that little infant recognized who his father was, he cried, "Abba, Father." And Jesus, in that intimacy, that need for God's presence and power, as He was headed to the cross, He said, "Abba, Father, let not this cup pass from me." Ah, the formality was dropped and the intimacy was brought to the forefront because he needed God's caress, God's assurance, God's help to go to the cross and to do what he did, to hang on it for 6 hours in terrible agony while every part of his being cried for relief from the pain. But he stayed on that cross. He said, "If there's any other way, Abba, Father, let this cup pass from me." But nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done. Friend of mine, if you're a Christian today, we're more than just sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. We were in terrible bondage. We have been bought, redeemed by the blood of Jesus and saved by grace. But now we are the sons of God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7 brings this out. Listen, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. And part of our inheritance is not just all of the healings and the help and the deliverances and heaven itself, but the greater part of our inheritance is being able to have a relationship with God that was equal with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now I know that's a big, big thing to get your heart adjusted to, that God would accept us in the Beloved, call us what He only called His Son until after the cross. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, the only one, and the only one that could therefore say, Abba, Father, until after He died on the cross and raised from the dead. And after that occurred, what was provided for those that would put their trust in Him, repent of their sins, receive Him as their Savior, Paul said, now, you are the sons of God. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, he said to his audience in that day that he wrote to, what? He was astonished that they didn't get it yet, that they haven't glimpsed the glory of it all. And he said, what? Know ye not that ye are the sons of God? Hallelujah. Oh, that there is no way that we could ever throughout all eternity understand and appreciate fully this great truth. It will take a lot of time, hallelujah, before we begin to be comfortable with the fact that what God has done for us in Christ has brought us into joint heirship and joint fellowship with God. In John 17, the great prayer of Jesus for Christians in that day and for all time, He said, Father, do you know how I'm in you and you're in me? I pray for them that they may be one in us, just like I'm in you and you're in me, that they may be one in us, and that you may love them with the same love wherewith you have loved me. Friend of mine, I know and accept that by faith. I know it's true because Christ prayed it. I know it's God's will because God purposed it. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can really, truly make it real in our life. But friend of mine, we are so much more than just old struggling sinners that have been saved by grace, standing far from God and His holy presence. No, friend, according to the Scripture, God has done something far more for you and far more for me. He has made us His very sons. He has made us His very daughters. Because Jesus, the just, has suffered for the unjust, that He may bring us to God. God wants fellowship with us. Complete, absolute relationship between a father and his dear children. And that's why Jesus said in the pattern prayer that we so often call the Lord's Prayer, it's really a pattern for you and me as Christians. When you pray, preface your prayer with an acknowledgement of this wonderful, powerful prayer. privileged relationship you now have with the Father and say, Our Father, Our Father, hallelujah, which art in heaven. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can call the God of the universe your Heavenly Father, and I pray that you'll receive Him today, right now. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?